Welcome to the Akashic Reading Podcast, presented by AkashicReading.com, the place where you can learn to access your soul's wisdom, or at least stop digging the hole any deeper. I'm your host, Terry Uktena, and today we'll be entering into winter solstice, a time where we are able to pull the light of the Akashics inward, so we become the flame which dispels the darkness. Winter solstice is the date in the Northern Hemisphere when the day is shortest and the night is longest. Throughout the fall, the darkness has come sooner each night, and the dawn has been later and later. Even though we know intellectually the sun will rise again, something deep in our mammalian knowing takes nothing for granted and feels happiness and joy when the light reappears. I find myself smiling for no apparent reason in those moments. There's ancient magic in that. The days and weeks heading into the winter solstice are a time of winding things down. Fall has fallen, as it were. The leaves are down. Many people already have snow. And the plants and trees are going to sleep. The evergreens are coming into their glory, and the winter berries are making a deep counterpoint. This year, fall has been tumultuous, not only because of all the weather anomalies with fires and flooding, landslides and hurricanes, tornadoes and blizzards, but because of social forces, which demand we choose sides or accept extremes. From the macro to the micro, we are being asked to choose from untenable options, live in a world constructed of black and white while ignoring anything gray, and to be reactive rather than proactive, ostensibly to heal where we have been inactive. In the words of Eckhart Tolle, life has no opposite. The opposite of death is birth. Life is eternal. And as Eckhart Tolle points out, between the extremes, between the beginning and the end, there is the entirety of the middle, which is the heart of the matter, the reason for the extremes to exist at all. Between the not doing and the overdoing, there's the being. This is a basic and yet core tenet of Tai Chi, of yoga, of all martial arts, and in fact, all physical activities. In order to move in any direction, you need to be in all of them, which means being in yourself, being centered. In yoga, one thing which most people struggle with is the idea of grounding. Being on your feet, all corners of your feet, front right, front left, back right, back left, completely on all aspects of your feet is necessary in order for you to have a solid foundation with which to reach up as far as possible. It seems backwards, but being completely grounded, not on the ball of the feet or the toes, but on both simultaneously, allows the stability to stretch beyond where we normally think of as stretching and achieve new heights. In the same way, Tai Chi teaches of balance and motion. In order to move in one direction, we must be prepared to move in the other. Balance and counterbalance, weaving all of the parts of the body in a harmony which becomes a complete sphere, moving our core self from a small ball in the center of our being to the large ball which is the entire world we can experience within the reach of our limbs and beyond. Many people think of being balanced and spiritual as the lack of movement. Being balanced to them is holding still, either standing or sitting, while being spiritual is the lack of anything other than happiness and contentment. However, as most of us have experienced, standing still for long periods of time is not only difficult, it's uncomfortable and causes physical damage long term. The same with sitting as anyone with a desk job can attest. And setting aside the bad things happen to good people issue, thinking that a healthy and complete person can somehow not feel anything other than happiness or contentment in response to the world as it is, has been, and will be for quite some time to come, is laughable. This definition turns spirituality into a disconnected form of mental illness, somewhat like a reverse autism. I'll pass. Thanks. In fact, if we're seeking balance, the most balanced person is one in motion. If you have a chance, look at a martial arts practitioner who is prepared to spar, but not yet actively doing so. Rarely are they completely still, except in movies, but instead are slightly or not so slightly in motion, moving side to side, forward and back, in order to maintain a flexible core center, which is capable of acting or reacting as necessary. The same with dancers, who spend a great deal of time not only learning their craft and specific choreography, but also learning who they are and how they operate in all aspects of self, from standing upright to lying flat on the floor and all levels in between. If they are unaware of how their center of gravity changes when they're in the air versus when they're crouched against their heels, they will be ineffective in performing and likely fall disastrously, even injure themselves. How we deal with the space between the extremes of active and passive informs how we experience our lives. If we're constantly reaching for that which is beyond us without being grounded in the here and now, we may receive but then not be able to incorporate what we've received as our efforts are directed outwards. If we're constantly waiting to receive, then we don't have our hands open in order to accept what's being offered in response to our requests. If we stand stiffly, with our legs braced and our arms folded over our chest in an effort to stay absolutely balanced, then we may be able to withstand a small breeze, but any toddler with determination will be able to topple us with one well-aimed headbutt. Being stronger can help in the short term, but as Jacqueline Carey has written, that which bends is not always weak. Instead of seeing the in-between, the living part of life, as a hallway in which we move between active and passive, we would be well advised to see it as the point of this existence. There is no opposite to life. It just is. Think of it like peace being a verb. We don't have peace. We aren't peaceful. We are peacing. Actively practicing the ability to be passive, to receive, to be at ease with what is. No acts of resignation, but instead acts of becoming. Receptively working to become what we have always wanted to be and meant to achieve. Being both and, grounding as we stretch, moving left and then right, right and then left, coming back to a center which expands as we move, becoming more as it needs less, living, which is contradictory in having no opposite. The day and night of winter solstice is a liminal time. It is the moment between nights getting longer and nights getting shorter. It's the moment when movement seems to stop, like the pause at the end of breathing out before we begin to breathe in. There is an old trick which uses this principle. If you're wanting to steady your hand for taking a picture or shooting an arrow, you breathe out, and in the pause before you breathe in, your body becomes still. Nothing interrupts the connection which forms between you and what you're aiming at. In this same way, during this one day between seasons, even the heavens seem to pause before they begin moving again. This gives us an opportunity to stop, to pause in all of our busy doing, and just for a moment be who we truly are, tuning into where we are and who we are with, and truly being present to the interconnectedness of it all. Winter solstice is the physical embodiment of one of the oldest, if not the oldest, story human beings have ever told. As sighted beings, living in a world which exists because of its proximity to a sun, which gives us the right combination of heat and light, our deepest fears and our greatest joys revolve around darkness and light. On this day, the darkness seems to win against the light, and even while we have come to a place scientifically and intellectually where we know the light will return, there is something within us which seeks to light the darkness, to dispel fear, to keep us warm even on this longest and darkest night. In the past, we humans have done this through ceremony and ritual, including the feasting and candles and bonfires, which have transformed over the centuries into Yule logs and Christmas lights, menorah and roast beast in Whoville. As we move into this new age, we come to understand we are the flickering flames which light the darkness, the glow which reminds each other not to fear in the long hours before dawn, and the flashlight under the covers, which creates a safe haven. While our souls know there is no true darkness, and all is love and light, we have chosen to be here, in this embodied life, where darkness does exist, evil occurs, and a lack of light or heat can kill. This is why it's important for each of us to shine for each other on this longest night. I'm struck by how well this is expressed in the first season of True Detective. Rust says, "I tell you, Marty, I've been up in that room looking out those windows every night here just thinking. It's just one story. The oldest." Marty says, "What's that?" Rust says, "Light versus dark." And Marty says, "Well, I know we ain't in Alaska, but it appears to me that the dark has a lot more territory." And Rust says, "Yeah, you're right about that." But then he goes on, "You're looking at it wrong, the sky thing." And Marty says, "How's that?" And Rust answers, "Well, once there was only dark. You ask me, the light's winning." So for this solstice, I offer you a meditation which will allow you to balance the light and the dark and experience yourself as luminous. I'll post a link to this in the podcast description. It will be easiest for those who have taken my courses, but everyone should be able to do it. It's a way to invite light and Akasha into your embodied life, rather than trying to travel to it. On this liminal day between here and there, while we exist in the pause, let us pause to re-experience who we are and all that we have the potential to become for ourselves and those we love. Happy solstice, everyone. And that's all the time we have this week. Next time, we'll be looking into manifesting your spiritual path into a career. If you're interested in knowing more, check out my website, akashicreading.com. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please take a minute to show it some love on iTunes. Your comments are also appreciated. Thanks. Bye.